Back in Galatians, brothers and sisters, and if you'd open your Bibles, last week we launched into this letter, and I believe so sweetly encouraged in our hearts, this letter of preach no other gospel. And tonight we're going to go onward into chapter 1, and let me tell you something, it's going to be by grace alone. And thanks be to God, it is His grace as we enter into this mighty letter of the love of God. So we're going to go ahead and read the first five verses of chapter 1, and I believe the Lord will just have us dwelling right here this evening. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. Now, right off the bat here, brothers and sisters, Brother Paul states his authority. And I'm thankful to the Lord that his authority is in one place, and that's in Jesus Christ. Now he's getting ready here, and I'm thankful to the Lord that I believe for all of us here tonight, this isn't our first time through Galatians. And by his grace, if Jesus tarry, it best not be our last time through Galatians. And I'm thankful to the Lord that as I was encouraged and reminded of our sweet pastor of so many years, it seems that, maybe the last 20, 30 years of pretty much his preaching, it bounced between Ephesians, Galatians, and maybe a little bit of Hebrews. And there's still more. Praise be to God. And I'm thankful that we're still here learning of this marvelous grace that will never, ever end. But Paul here, he is getting ready to really lay it on them, and he is. But before he's going to say anything, he's saying here, here's what's in me, and here who is speaking in me, and here's why I can speak this boldness, because I am an apostle. And I'm not an apostle of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now you talk about an agreement. You got God and His Son and the Holy Spirit. And they're agreed in everything. And they're agreed in everything all the time. And I'm thankful to the Lord that Brother Paul knew that they were agreed in giving him this wondrous message of the grace of God. How exciting. And do you see that that wasn't to Paul only? That's to us. And thank the Lord, as he said, not unto me only, but to all them also that love His appearing. And this is what this grace message is for. This is to whom it's for. It's to us, brothers and sisters, us in Christ, the ones that are readying as the Lamb's wife. Praise be to God. Now, we see today, just as it was back then, that there are many that claim that they were sent by men. There's many that claim that, well, I've received an anointing because somebody laid their hands on me. Or maybe I received some type of anointing because I got a piece of paper that said, I graduated from this Bible school or this seminary, or I got this completion certificate, but not this Paul. No hand of man was in this. It was solely Jesus Christ and the Father. And that is something that's very sovereign. That's something very solemn. That's something very powerful. But brothers and sisters, that's the way God always does it if it's God. Amen? He never changes. It wasn't just something that he was specially going to do for Paul or in Paul or through Paul. He does that because he's not a respecter of persons. He's ready to do that in all of us. He's ready to bring that anointing of the enlightenment, the vision, the illumination of grace in our lives. And God help us to be readied and willing to receive it. But in that statement right there, I have to tell you, I was thrilled to express my own thankfulness for the never-changing Word of God, even in my own life. And I can testify, brothers and sisters, to this grace of God, that the grace of God placed me in the place that I stand here tonight as pastor of this sweet meeting. And I'm thankful to the Lord that I know it's the grace of God, that it was not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And yes, I'm thankful, however, the Lord would have chose the path to this place. It's a wonderful way to have him decide for your life, no matter how it would have been. But the beauty is God led my life into this place. Brothers and sisters, it was beyond anything I could ask or think. I truly do need to bow my head in great thanks to God. But I was not groomed or picked by a pastor. I was not chosen of man or of men. But thanks be to God, it was by the mind of Christ, searching the Scriptures, brothers and sisters, and truly an anointed of the Lord came and counseled and said, "This is the one, this defines the one whom you seek." And I'm thankful to God it was His Word. So I'm thankful it's the grace of God. I'm thankful that it never changes. I'm thankful to the Lord that He strengthens us. I'm thankful to the Lord that, yes, just another chief of sinners. But I'm thankful to the Lord, yes, it's His enabling grace. And I'm thankful to the Lord when it's Him, it's always a double portion of His love. Amen? Amen. Now, I can also go on to testify that so sweetly, in the testimony of the anointing of the Lord being called to be a pastor, I remember very well the brethren as they came to pray for me. And I remember very well the oil and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that truly, I do believe at that very moment, had me to receive a pastor's heart for this meeting. I can't explain it. There's no way to explain it. It's just the way God does it. But I also remember very clearly being anointed with that oil, and it burnt my head. And I don't know if you recall, but I had a red blemish on my forehead for about 3 to 4 months. I'm not encouraging you to go back to watch those early videos. They might scare you. But I'm thankful how God knows our insecurities. And God knows sometimes what we need. Not just sometimes, always. But sometimes He just does something in a very special way to touch you. And to say, "Honey, just in case you didn't believe me, here's this or this." And I'm so thankful to God. It's hard to talk about it, but I felt He wanted me to testify of the power of the gospel of Christ. And to testify, brothers and sisters, that it never changes. And to testify, brothers and sisters, that we read this wonderful word and it's alive and it's living. And praise the Lord that it's us in Christ. And thank Jesus that He's so faithful to us. And His mercies just continue on and on and on. And if we just will yield, just receive the grace to let Him open our hearts, He'll show us. And He'll show us that I am the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. But isn't it wonderful, brothers and sisters, that not only was the power of God necessary to raise Jesus Christ from the dead, but that same power was necessary to make Paul an apostle. And hallelujah, that same power was necessary to make you and me ministers of the gospel of Christ. So I think we can conclude we need the power of the resurrection of Christ. Matter of fact, we need to know the power of the resurrection of Christ, the Word of God tells us. And I'm thankful to know that there is no power without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. But notice with Paul here, he says, all the brethren that are with me. Now again, such a sweet statement. And we've been rejoicing in this for some time that Paul was that chosen vessel unto God. And it wasn't he that he was magnifying. It was Christ in him. And praise the Lord. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ that was in him. And the gospel of Christ that brought out that message, and he says, I'm going to bring it through Paul. That Paul could say through the gospel of Christ, follow me as I follow Christ. And thank the Lord that the likes of a Luke and a Titus and others that were with him, praise the Lord, they followed, they were with Paul. Not with him in a sense of flesh, but they were with him in spirit because of the unity of the Holy Ghost. And the power of his might. Amen. Just like we are tonight. By God's grace. Now, it's wonderful, brothers and sisters, that there's such precious fellowship. And precious fellowship with saints of like precious faith. And that's so important, isn't it? Amen. And I'm thankful to the Lord. I appreciate because how God's brought us together. And I know that there's some that haven't been, in a sense, in this meeting for years and years, but have such a sweet testimony of that fellowship that was yearned for. Didn't even understand or understanding exactly what it was, but you knew that there was something more. There was a yearning, there was a desire, there was a panting in your heart. And God circled you. And God said, I'm going to give you that message. And he just so chose to bring it through, praise God, a meeting called Living Waters Tabernacle. Not an exclusive here. We know that. Praise God. It's in every Bible. Amen? Amen. It's in every Bible. I should say everyone that's the Word of God Bible. But isn't that a shame that we have to say that? But it's the truth, what they've done. Turned it into a lie. But we know that the divine word of God has that precious truth. But brothers and sisters, we're thankful that the Spirit gives us the right hand of fellowship. And praise God that there's such opportunity of fellowship that is in Christ in the saints. And I believe that Jesus Christ has called us through his word and says, the much the more as we see that day approaching. That we come together, that we're thankful that we can be encouraged, that we can be strengthened. It is all by Jesus Christ. But thank you, Jesus, that you use these precious joints in your body to bring forth such wonderful encouragement. Amen? Amen. I have always felt better by his grace coming to church. Without a doubt. It just does it. It's not about the building. But it sure is about the treasure in the vessels. It's sure about the Word of God. Amen, amen, amen. So aren't we grateful to God and his faithfulness? Now as we get into this, just as every letter we've studied with Paul, it's the same precious greeting. Grace be to you and peace. And thank you, Jesus, that we know that grace must be first, or there will never be peace. We're soon going to find out that these saints, these Galatians, were troubled. They were troubled. And when you're troubled, let me tell you something, there's no peace. That's why you're troubled. And the reason that there was no peace was because they departed from grace. And let that so speak to us, brothers and sisters, the simplicity that is in that message. It is so absolutely true in our lives. If there is unrest in anything in our lives, it's because we have not apprehended grace for it. Grace is there, but we have failed to apprehend the grace. And I believe that is this complete joyful run, this race that we run to win him. It must be a race of apprehending grace with every stride. Because you're unable to grow, you're unable to run without grace. you grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's grace. And I'm thankful to the Lord that we know this, and praise God that this is such a simple truth. But this is the apprehending that needs to happen, is to apprehend the grace of God. And in their case, as we will read in these Galatians, they were seeking spiritual perfection through works of the flesh. Now that could be the same for us, God forbid. And there is a battle all the time in that. Stinking self-righteousness comes in all different ways. It's always attacking us one way or another. Amen. It's just called self. Self. And God help us to depart from the island of self. Praise the Lord. But brothers and sisters, what about when we're troubled, I don't know, maybe about a brother or a sister in Christ? How about receiving more grace for that life? Amen? I remember so many times, well, I'm going to pray for them that they receive grace. Well, how about praying for you that you need to receive grace to get over it? And thank the Lord that then I can go back to think upon these things. Amen? Amen. What a sign. What a red flag moment. Apprehend grace. And where's that at? Come boldly to the throne. Amen. See how he's dealing with us all the time, isn't he? See, because if there was a one of us here tonight that truly apprehended all the grace, you wouldn't be here. You'd be done and readied and face to face. So I'm thankful to the Lord that he is working on us, isn't he? To the very, very last breath, till we see him face to face. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And let me tell you something. He does not waste time. He's so efficient, so beyond perfection. He is always at us because he loves us. And whom he loves, he chastens. So let's always remember that in that sweet relationship that we have with him. Or how about when we're troubled with worries, brothers and sisters? How about asking God, Lord, allow me to apprehend more grace to believe that you will perfect that which concerns me? In whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I know I've read that many times. But how about apprehending the grace to truly live that? Not just in the state that you think you need to be in, or the state that you're in that you really like. I'm not telling you to be nervous about it, but don't get too comfortable there, because he's going to move you around, isn't he? Amen, he is. Just like that little eagle chick. I always love that and how those eagles do it. And I love this sister, how she loves to watch them eagles all the time. And they speak to her, because how could they not? That soaring, full overcomer. But how does it get to that point? It's born in a nest and in a fluffy place. Oh my goodness, how wonderful. I'm here with Mama, fed, spoon-fed, and just eating it up and having a good time playing with my brothers and sisters and whapping each other with wings and sitting on each other and playing. And what's Mom doing? She's pulling out all the fluffy stuff. It's starting to get a little tight in here, and there's only a little fluff left over here, but there's four of us, and we can't all get there, so now we're on each other. But then she's pulled that away too, and all there are sticks and branches, and I can't sit in here no more. So I guess I'm going to have to take flight. So I get up all my courage, and I'm brave, and here we go, and I'm on the edge of that nest, and fly, baby, fly, here we go. And I leap off, and two flaps, and I'll tell you what, it's a lawn dart a-coming. But praise the Lord, that mama swoops in. And they have it, picking them right back up on those wings and bringing them up to another height. And over we're going to do this. And it's amazing how each time they'll show those chicks, they're a little less fearful each time, until finally they're just soaring on. Praise God. Till we all come. Who's not flying? No, I'm just teasing. Praise God, pray for me. All right, and I pray for you. But praise his name, brothers and sisters. But see, Whatever it is, we need grace. We need grace to believe always that we always, having all sufficiency in all things, may superabound to every good work. And let us not forget what superabounding means. It means through every trial. See, a lot of folks will say, well, every good work, that means something, in a sense, maybe that's good or something that I think is appealing to me. No. These are the before-ordained good works that ye should walk therein. We're talking fiery trial time. We're talking things that you could never do, that you have to be empowered of the Holy Spirit to even go that way, let alone accomplish it. But the beautiful thing about going that way, praise God, always having all sufficiency in all things, you will superabound when you decide to go that way. Isn't it wonderful? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And let me tell you something, if he strengthened me to take that step, he's there. He's already strengthened it. He's already provided, praise God, every bit of power, every bit of faith, every bit of love that will keep me going on. Praise his name. Thank God for the grace that causes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. But brothers and sisters, let me note before we move on with that, remember, these are the before ordained good works that you should walk therein. See, there is a choice there. The choice is always, will we receive the grace to overcome? Or as Paul said, I'm so thankful that that grace that was bestowed was not in vain. Or is it going to be something we ignore and there's an excuse why we're not going to receive? See, there's always an excuse. And you know what that excuse is? Unbelief. It comes back to self. And most of the time, I'll just tell you what self is. It's selfishness. I want to meditate on me. I want you to meditate on me. Think on these things. And I think those things that I think on these things are of one, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise his name. See, we'll be stuck and we won't move without receiving the grace of God. But here we go, grace and peace. Now, aren't we thankful that grace and peace is from only one place, and that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God the Father. No other place, no other source. We know it's all by him, for him, and to him. But notice, too, it's our Lord. Our Lord. And that is so vital, brothers and sisters, so very important. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Yes. But his Lord does not get it. My Lord. And my Lord Jesus Christ. I love those words. Thou art the Christ. Amen. Thou art my Lord and Savior. Praise God. See? And I pray that we rejoice and thank the Lord. The little things that mean so much. But all those little things will never mean anything without the first, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, these next two verses, verses 4 and 5, I have to tell you, the Lord has had me fall in love with them all over again. Such a precious abounding of grace in these two little verses. And I'd like you to read them with me. Let's read them together, verses 4 and 5. Now, really read what he's saying here. Ready? Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, that is to us. Isn't that precious? That is to us. That is, praise God, his word to us. Now think of this. Who gave himself? And I think of that sweet gift from God. Grace, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ not only gave himself to live or to heal or to teach, but he gave himself to die. And he gave himself to become sin and to become our sins. And praise the Lord that it was through the shame of the cross that he saved us. And brothers and sisters, in that we must reckon, we must just get it absolutely decided that we were all dead in our trespasses and sin. Amen. And praise the Lord that we always go through this precious life. I am thankful that God has shown me and he's brought me and to say, rise up, honey. You are my love, my fair one, if you'll just take it. I see that in you. I see that potential. Praise God, hear those words. He that hath an ear, let him hear. But I'm thankful the way that I do and the way that I appreciate that with such gratitude is I always remember the tents of Kedar. Amen? I always remember that great grace. That great grace. That great grace that found me. That great grace that touched you. That great grace that caused your heart to say, Lord Jesus, you are my Savior. The shame of the cross saved us. There was no way to life but through the blood. No way. And brothers and sisters, may we really get this, that even the most minute amount of legality is the greatest insult to God. It's the greatest insult to God. If there is a worst thing, that is the worst thing. To think that I could bring anything but the Lamb. Amen. And that's a beautiful thing. That's the beautiful thing. See, that's the will of the Father. Grace. For God so loved the world. It says it all. It's because I so loved the world. I so loved man. I loved man. You're special. Think of this. Brothers and sisters, he loved us. And he gave his only begotten Son. And praise God, at the moment that you accepted Christ Jesus as your Savior, by grace, now are we the sons of God. Amen. Now, praise the Lord. I don't just cry Father, but Abba, Father. When I know him, when I really know him, you think about even a little infant baby. They don't really know who dad is. But I see my little nephew Marcus. He's getting close to a year. He knows who dad is. And he loves his daddy. And he dotes on his daddy. And he loves his daddy's arms. He's growing into that knowledge. Now I keep telling my nephew, if the Lord tarry, honey, there's going to be times that you're going to shake your head and think, why did I ever have that son? I didn't read about that one. I was just reading about how sweet they were. But then I read that it's kind of in their heart, isn't it? It's kind of that old man, isn't it? So, but praise the Lord, he always loves us. But brothers and sisters, it was all in the plan of the undeserved gift of grace in his Son. And legality spoils, and it spoils it all. It just does, doesn't it? Isn't it an insult? And I'm thankful it is. Doesn't it insult your God? Is it offensive to you? I pray it is. And not in a way, oh, it's offensive to me, because then I'm getting self-righteous. You see how that could work? But I'm talking about sorrowful insult. It hurts. That's my head. That's the Lamb. That's God's will. God has placed that in my heart by grace to love that message and to preach no other gospel and to live no other gospel and to rejoice in no other gospel. And thanks be to God, and we will grow in no other gospel. But hallelujah, that we know that it's only in the beautiful grace and in the power of His workmanship alone. See, we must see that grace is the only thing, brothers and sisters, grace is the only thing that separates us from this world. It is. If it wasn't for the grace of God, there go I. Amen? Amen. That you're here at a Bible study tonight rejoicing in the preach no other gospel gospel? That's the grace of God. Amen it is. It wasn't because you were born into this or something that you did or, man, I'm just such a great sort or I'm so cerebral I could sit down and go through the Bible so many times or read all of Brother Copley and Sister Bodie's tracts. That will not get it. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And it is there for all, and it's so wonderful that it is. But thank you, Jesus. You talk about great grace. It touched you. And may we always know, Lord, it's only the Lamb. Hear Him. Just like those guys, they got to thinking, oh, well, there's the Moses and Elijah, and there's we're going to just go ahead and honor them all. No, you're not. Thank God for grace. He's about ready to slap him down. And when God slaps you down, there's nothing left. That's why He loves him. And He says, no. Hear Him. This is my beloved Son. Aren't you thankful that He says that about your Jesus? Whom I am well pleased. And I'm thankful the well-pleased doctrine has gripped my heart. And I'm so well-pleased in my Savior, I can't even tell you. But see, that could only be the love of the Father that He put in my life. That I get excited about that. That it woos me. It ravishes me. I'm just ground to powder. Really melted. I'm well-pleased, Lord. I stand there in awe of You. I'm smitten. You're just so wonderful. And I see it in You, and You, and You, and You. I see it in Your eyes tonight. Praise God. His dove's eyes go forth, and they do. That's the beauty of our Lord, and that's the grace of God. The simplicity, the ease, the rest, the peace, the joy, the praise, the thanksgiving, the gratitude. It's nothing without grace. But all of that is because of grace. So see, grace separates us from the world. And you think about only His blood delivers us from its sin. And only grace allows us to live apart from its evil. And praise God, someday grace's resurrection power will shoot us right off from the face of this world. Even away from the presence of sin. And that, as we're so thankful tonight, as we read together, is all according to the will of the Father. That's His will. There's nothing more powerful than the will of God. And there's nothing more powerful than grace hitting our hearts and allowing the will of the Father to will into of His good pleasure in our lives. And I ask you again, what is the will of the Father? Grace. That's the will of the Father. God so loved the world, He gave. He gave. It's a gift. It's unmerited. It's undeserved. All His Son. Only His righteousness. When I only see only the blood, God says, there is peace with me. My Son, full of grace and truth, the beautiful one, when I see the blood, when I see Him, I will pass over you. I love when the Father passes over me. Praise God. And finally, we'll close up with this. You see why it's hard to get through five verses in this. Can you imagine we run into the same thing over and over in the Word of God? I pray we don't tire of it. But it says, to whom be glory forever and ever. And I'm going to ask you again, who is whom? Grace. Jesus Christ. Full of grace and truth. That's the glory of God, grace, His unmerited favor and unconditional love. And see, brothers and sisters, they're not just little individual things. They're all wrapped up in one, the Lamb of God, one place. See how people, they want pieces of things. Man wants grace, but they don't want Jesus. You'll never have it. Man wants peace, but they don't want Jesus. You'll never have it. Trying to always go after something that they can never have or never be unless it's in Christ. Unless it's in Christ, because that's where God put it all. I put it all in my Son. How simple a doctrine, how simple a gospel. How simple that there was nothing to deserve it, how simple it's grace. Because I want you to have it. Now, Jesus Christ embodies all grace because He is all grace. And in the ages to come, brothers and sisters, the Lord tells us it's in the exceeding riches of His grace that He's going to show forth His kindness to us. How wonderful. It never changes. It just gets greater. The exceeding riches of His grace. The exceeding riches of Him. That's who grace is. It's Him. Him. Him manifested in us. Us in Christ. The riches of glory. Us in Christ. That's the rejoicing, is His work in us, brothers and sisters, us in Christ. And you think about this, we have only just got a glimpse of this, haven't we? It's only been a glimpse. And the Word of God assures us we have not seen nothing yet. Really, if you know what I'm talking about. It's coming. It's coming. And it's not just coming, it's going to go on forever and ever and ever. And there will be no end. Now, you got to think about this, though. And it's only going to grow and grow more and more and more immense in its wonder and its splendor and wealth. And let's not forget the grace of God. Because that's what it is. And yes, it is. His immeasurable love and affection for us is beyond anything known or even dreamed. Ecstasy, brothers and sisters, that we cannot even imagine. In a body. Now, come on. Now we're going another. We're going to go until we leave. Our bodies. No, I'm just teasing. But in a body like unto His own glorious body. That will never tire. That is ever knowing. That is omnipresent. And yet it's still going to go on forever and ever and ever. And it will never be exhausted. Amen. All I can say to that is, wow. And that's all I got. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Lord, I believe. Because You're right, Lord. I can't get my mind around that. And only by Your Spirit increasing Your love in the heart that You've caused to be, and I pray it is in us, the men and women after God's heart. But He's wrapped our hearts around it. I do believe. Because it's in this, Lord, Thou knowest. See, these are things so beyond that people would say, oh, come on. And I say, Lord, come on. Because I believe. I believe the Word of God. How simple. As the Lord brought out on Sunday. And I thought, how precious. He's done it to me many times. But each time it's more real. Christians can believe that God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. And put Him on a cross. because you have to believe that to be a Christian. And he died for your sin. Very God of very God, becoming very man of very man. Still very God of very God, but the Lamb, and became sin for us. But yet I can't believe any more of the Word of God. To me, that in itself is as amazing as anything could ever be. Amen? What really is greater than that? Because in a sense, there is nothing greater than that, because that's where everything springs forth from, is the blood of the Lamb. But all His benefits toward me, all the glory of God, to be filled with all the fullness of God. What's that mean to us? I pray it's everything. I pray it's our absolute life and truly our desire, and a delirious desire at that. And I believe it is. And soon, very soon, we'll be with Him. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.